Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. What a joy to be with all of you today. So I want to start off by telling you that I am coming to you live from the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network's annual radio conference. So this is the 2025 radio conference, and everyone who is a part of the radio family is here at Washington, D.C. this year. And as far, I'm going to keep this intro very short because we have a truly special guest, someone who's been a big brother, a mentor to me. No one's ever told us we look alike, which I'm pretty sad about. That's Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Deacon, you want to say a quick hi to everyone?
Hey, hello everyone. It's great to be here with you today, especially on Ave Maria. You know, this is a fantastic radio network, and I'm so honored to be here with you today, Dr. Peter. Love it.
And it's such a joy for me to be with Deacon. He's been such a kindred spirit and teacher in a lot of things. And so, for this whole hour, Deacon and I will be talking about the feast day, Augustine of Hippo, and then we'll branch into different areas and different topics that pertain to the Catholic faith and culture today. And so we're going to go to the headlines first and come right back with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Thursday, August 28th. It's the feast of St. Augustine of Hippo, Doctor of the Church. Today's news brought to you by the Ave Maria Family of Fund and AveMariaFunds.com. The chief of police in Minneapolis says there were 20 victims in yesterday's Catholic school shooting.
I want the community to know that even in the face of evil, the Minneapolis Police Department and all of our law enforcement partners collectively stand together with you.
Chief Brian O'Hara praising his officers who responded to the scene at Annunciation Church. 15 children and 3 adults still hospitalized are expected to survive. Minnesota lawmakers reportedly refuse to aid Catholic schools with security. That according to a report in the Catholic News Agency. Officials from the Minnesota Catholic Conference made requests to the state government for help in funding security and emergency response training in 2022 and 2023. The request wasn't granted by the state in either year, despite the state reporting an over $17 billion surplus. The governor of Illinois and the White House are at odds over the possibility of federal troops going into Chicago to help fight crime. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker says if President Trump deploys troops, actions will be met with a response. A Russian attack on Ukraine's capital has left at least 15 dead and multiple others injured. Officials say over 20 locations across Kyiv were hit, leaving thousands without power. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said in a post on X that the attacks clearly show that Russia has chosen ballistics over the negotiating table. And a landmark American newspaper is ending its print edition. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says after more than 150 years in business, the publication will embrace its digital future. From your AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. As I've mentioned in the open, joining me for this entire hour is my dear friend, mentor, big brother, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And he's no stranger to this program because he's also no stranger to the hour before. I wish I could tell everyone that I'm the forerunner to Deacon Harold, but the ordering doesn't work that way. So I'm going to tell everyone I'm the post-runner to Deacon Harold. Deacon, such hilarious. A joy to have you. How are you?
I'm doing well, yeah, but busy year this year. Usually summer is when things slow down. I do a number of overseas trips during the summer. But this year has been particularly busy. In addition to the overseas trips, I also had a very busy summer speaking here in the U.S. as well. So I'm looking forward to a little bit of downtime, about 10 days before, after the conference, the EWTN radio conference here in D.C., 10 days off before I head back out and stay very busy until Thanksgiving.
Wow. Okay, so Given what you do, right, you're essentially a traveling preacher. You're an itinerant preacher, which, frankly, has never left the church. It is an office in the church that we've always had as a part of our tradition. Why is it that we're looking at a culture that's becoming more and more digitized? Why is it more crucial than ever to have live events, have preachers that we are there for preaching to us?
Well, it really is about an encounter with Christ, but not just any encounter with Christ, a personal encounter with Christ. We're talking about this at lunch, that in the incarnation, the Word became flesh,
right,
and dwelt among us. God wanted to be with us intimately and personally. He wanted to touch us with His own hands. He wanted to love us with His own heart. He wanted personal relationship. And so He came to dwell and live among us.
Right.
So we're an incarnational church.
Right.
We need to be together to experience each other and touch. The digital thing is, you know, the nose of the camel's in the tent. That's not, you know, that's always going to be a part of how we communicate now. But it can't become, I believe, the primary way in which we communicate.
Yep.
For example, you can't go to Mass digitally, right?
Uh-huh.
There's still some things we need to do in person. And the pandemic, damaged that kind of intimacy relationship. And, you know, things like Zoom and other technology kind of took over.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think the big threat is AI.
Uh-huh.
You know, artificial intelligence technology that if it's not used properly, if it's not safeguards around it, if it's not an ethical framework, if there's not rules around how that works, we have, I think it will be threatened our humanity.
Right.
You know, so we need to really be intentional about being incarnational and being together as a people of God.
And Like you mentioned, the threat to our humanity, the truth of the matter is God created us as intellectual, rational creatures. And so we shouldn't ever be afraid of truth and of advancement. We shouldn't ever be afraid of knowledge. The problem is when man untethers knowledge and information from the source of all truth, who is God. And Augustine goes through that in his own life. If you could comment on that, please.
Yeah, so just like, and it says it in the Psalms, right? Mm-hmm. Just like a mother is attached to her child, like
right,
in the womb, we're also attached to God, right? But where the analogy breaks down is that, you know, eventually the child is born and they cut the umbilical cord. But our relationship with God is not just physical; it's spiritual. You know, so that umbilical cord of love and life-giving communion is something that we have the moment of our conception will stay with us all the way till eternity in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that never goes away. And so we have to remember that our purpose, our mission, who God created us to be is tied up in our relationship with Him.
Yep.
And because, yes, we God has given us dominion over the earth and its resources and things like that. Yes, and so we create incredible technologies in almost every sphere of human existence.
Yep.
From medicine to entertainment to space exploration to automotive technology, to every aspect. I mean, who would have thought when I was in college, you know, back in the 80s that computers would be running. There was no computers back then.
That's right.
You know, no personal computers back then. But now, you can't imagine almost every aspect of human existence where a computer is not running something or part of it. Even your own television sets now.
Yep.
Yeah. Even this radio show that we're doing now. I mean, computers are running everything. So, what we can't do is to see human ingenuity, human technology, human advancement as a panacea,
uh-huh,
as the answer to things. Because
right,
there's certain things in life that technology cannot answer. The biggest, deepest questions of the human heart and human existence cannot be answered by technology.
Yep. And that's why when you consider, for example, Jonathan Haidt in his book, The Anxious Generation, one of the things that he does point out, he doesn't touch on artificial intelligence a lot, but he does mention exactly what you said, that at the end of the day, the fundamental question that needs to be answered, perhaps technology will give us the room for it. I think he's wrong in that regard, because I think what's happened is we've allowed ourselves to spiral. You know, we're so prone to addictions, and technology is nothing if not addictive.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, you know, so many young people do what I call the death scroll on their phone.
Yeah.
You know, they just take their phone and scroll. You know, TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is. You know, entertain me. Please don't make me think. please don't, you know, make me, please make me laugh. Please don't make me, you know, have to think about this anymore. And they just scroll. And, you know, and that's their Bible. That's their encounter with reality is what they see on the, on their, on the different apps. And, you know, the, again, not designed to draw us any closer in our relationship with God, mm-hmm. or as a vehicle that leads us to deeper intimacy with the Lord, that encourages us to a relationship of personal. Yeah. I mean, using technology, I think, is fine as a tool, toolbox, as part of the the process or the scheme or the dynamic of moving toward deeper intimacy mm-hmm. with the Lord. I mean, if St. Paul was here, he would have a website.
Yes.
He'd be on social media.
100%.
Whatever way he needs to evangelize, he's going to do it.
Yep.
So we have to recognize but realize there's limits to that.
Yeah.
You know, but ultimately it's about personal encounter and relationship.
If you guys are wondering who that voice is, well, it's no stranger to any of you. That's Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and we are at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network's radio conference in Washington, D.C. That's the 2025 radio conference. Deacon Harold and I are piggybacking off of the Feast of St. Augustine to talk about the pursuit of truth. You're a preacher. You're a man who understands the wondrous value that words have. Deacon, Augustine was a rhetorician. Mm-hmm. In other words, he was taught that words don't have intrinsic value. All you have to do is move the crowd. We are seeing many speakers and preachers and writers and authors like that in the modern sphere today. So the rhetoricians of the Roman culture are alive and well today. As a preacher of truth, what's a response to that?
Well, and to even go further, you know, we talked about AI.
Mm.
Right now, there are people writing music using AI. Now, hold on. They can't play an instrument.
No.
They can't read music. They can't. Well, create a song in this genre using this theme and using. And that's how they're creating. That's, to me, that's not creativity. Creativity involves human ingenuity,
yep,
human imagination,
yep,
human emotion. You know, when my wife and I were on our anniversary trip to Hawaii, we one of the things we watched a documentary about Billy Joel.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I grew up with Billy. I mean,
Piano Man.
Loved this, all those amazing songs that he had. Brilliant songwriter. You know, and it was he's writing songs that relate to his experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes, I mean, songs are 40 years old, still, and my kids are listening to that stuff today.
Right.
Why? Why are they listening to songs from when I was a kid in my era? Because the song and the message is so powerful because it makes that human connection.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I'm afraid that technology, that we're so reliant on technology that we lose that human factor. We see that in these, even the dystopian theme movies.
Yes.
That we see. No matter like Game of Thrones or what, I don't even know what that all is.
I
haven't watched an episode. I have no idea what that show is
about. You know,
the
older movies like Mad Max, you know, like.
Right. Yeah. All the dystopia type themes is, you know, is losing our humanity.
Yeah.
You know, we're so reliant on technology, so reliant on man-made ingenuity that we lose ourselves.
Right.
But we have to remember with the Catholic principle is that when we give ourselves away in love, we truly find ourselves in God.
Right.
And that's the key to the pursuit of truth.
So you're quoting Gaudium et Spes here, that's paragraph 24, and man only truly finds himself when he makes a complete gift of himself. Social media literally is designed to make you turn in
That's it. The turn in on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and when you do that, you can't be a gift to others.
Yeah.
You know, so then how do you begin to express yourself if you have no one to express it to? You're just expressing it to yourself, which
uh-huh.
makes no sense. It makes no, because when you create art, why are you creating it? For the sake of creating it? Or are you creating it so someone can have an experience? You see?
Right.
If you're not creating it for yourself, you're creating it for others. But when it's turned in on itself, the only one that can appreciate that is you. And therefore, I think it loses its meaning because you can't share it with someone else.
Yes.
You see?
Yeah.
Music, yeah, you can write your own music, but then if you're not sharing that experience with someone, then what's the point?
Right.
What's the purpose? No, we have to go deeper. Like, and that's what St. Augustine found. He had
yes.
to go deeper to find the meaning. He didn't find it in Manichaeanism.
Nope.
You know, he found it in the beauty and truth of the one holy Catholic apostolic faith.
So I'm talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We are talking about St. Augustine of Hippo and all the lessons we can learn from his life. And we're going to continue on the other side of the break. So stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Honey, did you ever call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor for that free roof inspection?
I knew I forgot something.
Roof leaks can cause mold buildup or even roof collapse. Protect your family today by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your roof, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marcus Peter. Ave Maria Radio spearheads the proclamation of the gospel into all areas of society and culture. And so we want to invite you to think about what Catholic radio means for you. Because our towers and our equipment need updating. And we want to ask you to think about the impact of Catholic radio and how your donations can help continue the propagation of the gospel for the salvation of souls to all who hear it. Thank you for joining us on this wondrous mission.
As Catholics, it's not always easy to share our faith with others. As a St. Paul Center member, you'll have access to a growing library of online scripture and theology content with Scott Hahn, John Bergsma, and other leading scholars to help you encounter Christ in scripture and empower you to share your faith confidently. Know Christ, share Christ. Get started free at stpaulcenter.com/ave. That's stpaulcenter.com/ave.
Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. I'm talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, dear friend, big brother. I'm just tremendously blessed to have him in my life. And we are talking about this man that we never met him, and yet he's such a massive influence to us. It's kind of ridiculous. And yet that's what the communion of the saints is like. So Deacon, I want to ask you to pick up from where we left off. We had just begun talking about this. So you were mentioning about if we don't learn to make a gift of ourselves to others, then we turn in on ourselves. All of a sudden, that makes modern art make sense. Right? Like banana duct tape to a wall, a splash of red paint. Meanwhile, I go back to the medieval era and I've got Raphael's Transfiguration. You know, I've got Albrecht Dürer's Adoration of the Trinity. I mean, that's art.
Yeah, even stained glass windows in church, you know, because people couldn't read. And so the way that they learned about the faith was through, you know, they're hearing the scriptures and they're seeing that on the stained glass window. So that art was helping them to encounter something deeper than themselves.
Right.
You know, I think that's the longing of the human heart, too, is to go deeper. I remember having an encounter with a person in Oregon who's not a person of faith, but they said they like to go into the woods and eat mushrooms and get high. And in that euphoria, they feel connected to the rocks and to the trees and to the universe, as the way they put it. So they feel this need to connect with something deeper. They have a sense that there's something out there that's beyond themselves. And they feel this innate need, which, of course, we know is the natural moral law, to connect with whatever that is. And the way they do it, the way this gentleman did it, he goes into the woods, he finds a beautiful place, he eats the mushrooms, he gets high, and when he's high, he feels connected to everything around him. You know, and we see the fulfillment of that in Christ. So we also know that there's something beyond ourselves, something that pulls us toward relationship, and that's God, right? St. Thomas Aquinas called the sonum bonum, the greatest good, our ultimate end, the beatific vision. And so the way we have that encounter, we also go to a beautiful place. It's called church. And in that beautiful place, we don't eat mushrooms and we don't get high, but we consume the Eucharist, which we believe the body, blood, soul, divinity of the God of the universe. And in that consuming of the Eucharist, we are one with the worshiping community and with nature and with God.
Yep.
See, so that gentleman was looking and searching for that deeper reality.
Right.
But because he does not have yet the encounter with Christ, he's finding it in the things, the natural things that are around him. But that longing, yearning is for something deeper and something richer, something more beautiful.
So in other words, he's got the right idea, which tends to be the case for most of modern man. It's just that their prescription for the diagnosis is always off.
See, and what we have to do is we can't laugh at him.
Yep.
When he says something like that, we can't put him down. So how stupid is that? No, we talk about meeting people where they are.
Yeah.
So okay, I see where you are now.
Yep.
You know, okay, I can totally appreciate that perspective.
Right.
You know, and let me help move it a little bit further now.
Right.
Let me give you something else to think about, right? Because it's not about convincing people or, you know, giving them too much too soon. It's about, I think the key is, how do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say?
Right.
And this is where Augustine comes in. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, I think, the key to talking about difficult things in homilies. You know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Mm.
Because I think priests and deacons refrain from preaching on things like abortion or transgender and things like that, or what marriage is during Mass, because the excuse they'll use is, well, there's a lot of little kids out there, and, you know, I don't want to be, you know. Basically, that's in my opinion, chickening out from speaking. But you can speak the truth in love, but sometimes it's how you say things, not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
Which, again, goes back to Augustine as a rhetorician, right?
Yep. And, Deacon, honestly, you're a deacon, so as a layperson, I really want to affirm you for always speaking the truth boldly, and therefore as a kind of exhortation to our other father deacons and priests and bishops. We, your children, want the hard truths. I don't want to stay as I am truly. I want to become conformed to the image of Christ. And if I don't hear those truths from you, I'm going to go home patting myself on the head, telling myself I've done a good job.
Yeah, you know, I remember a powerful story from a priest in New York. There was a guy that kept coming to church. He would come by himself all the time. And he finally got a call from this guy that he was dying. And so the priest went to give him the sacrament anointing of the sick. And it comes to find out that this man was same-sex attracted, living with a mm-hmm. partner this whole time. But the other guy wasn't, never came to church. The priest just saw this one guy.
Okay.
And so when he was, he heard his confession, was given anointing of the sick, and he was dying of AIDS, is what the person was, the illness that they had. And so he told the priest, and said the priest, he said he never forgot. He goes, if I would have heard you preaching truth, I probably would not be here right now. I mean, I would not be in this position right now. I'm like, whoa. And the priest just hit him like a ton of bricks. Because that all those times he came to church, he never talked about sin. He never talked about, you know, the conjugal act as being constant within marriage and participating in life of God. He never heard that. So he just felt justified in living his lifestyle choice decision. Now that lifestyle choice decision is listening, costing him his life, and now the priest is there giving last rites. But he said, if you would have preached truth, I'd probably be in a different position right now. I was like, the priest said he never forgot that. And so that's I think that goes to what you just said, and we have to preach the truth. Again, Ephesians 4:15, preach the truth in love.
Yeah.
Always in love, but it has to be the truth. Because the truth, not only as Jesus says, sets us free, it allows us to become the person who God created us to be.
I know that, you know, as a married man, obviously that story still strikes deeply to me, even though that particular lifestyle isn't mine, because there's a universality to what you just shared. So I'm a married man right now. And I have to tell you, Stephanie and I already have friends who've been divorced and annulled, who are peers, so that means they've not been married very long. And I know you are deeply passionate about marital catechesis, you know, the preparation for marriage. You don't hear, and forgive me for the priests who feel that they are preaching and I'm not hearing it, but you really don't hear a lot by way of, this is what the vows really mean. This is what marriage actually calls you to. Marriage is not about you, it's about dying to yourself for the sainthood of the other, and ultimately for sainthood in Christ. And therefore, when you stand before Christ and make those vows, you swear a covenant oath. Like, if I don't study Scripture, I'm not hearing it. And,
yeah.
And so, you know, you look at the divorce rates in the Catholic Church and in the world right now, what is it like? It's just like in the mid-40s, and the annulment rates are not that far behind. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, so if the annulment rates are that high, and as you pointed out at lunch today, that if the annulment rates are high, that means that that shows that the marriages weren't valid.
Yep.
In the start, which means we're not doing a very good job at all with marriage preparation. Because if they're doing marriage prep and they're entering into these invalid marriages that eventually get annulled, because that's what the annulment says, that a valid marriage did not take place,
right.
That means we're doing a poor job on the front end. And so you're right. I mean, I think one of the weakest areas of the church, there's several weak areas, I mm-hmm. think, that we can, and not blaming priests or the
yeah,
church
yeah.
or anything. I mean, these things we don't emphasize.
Exactly.
For example, parents that lose a child through miscarriage. Or infertile couples, or the elderly, you know, the issues around that. Like, do we have conferences just for the elderly?
Mm.
And for, I mean, you know, issues around end of life. I mean, all those kinds of things. I mean, I think those are weeks. And one of them, glaring, I think, is marriage preparation. You know, and we were talking about this earlier, that the solution is, you know, program.
Mm.
Let's program. Let's
right,
do this
right,
program.
Right.
Do this program. And but are we but through these programs, are they helping these couples to prepare them for a lifetime together? You know, like I said, marriage is connected with the sacrament of holy orders. Priests spend 7-8 years in a seminary. We spend a weekend preparing a couple for marriage for a lifetime. I don't think so.
We're continuing on the other side of the break. I'm talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He's an evangelist, a deacon, a prolific author, and we had just embarked on the conversation of preparing for marriage. Continuing on the other side, stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
If you've noticed improved sound from 990 AM, you'd not only be correct, but you have yourselves to thank. Donors like you to our Strong Towers Foundation is allowing us to make some improvements. Ave Maria Radio has a lot to go, but we wanted to thank you and share the small victories so that we can continue to transform lives while offering hope, guidance, and truth to all those that are searching.
Is your child struggling with math or reading? Want to boost their grades and confidence? Hi, this is Ed Bahura. Welcome to Sylvan Learning Centers, where success is just a session away. With 45 years of experience, Sylvan Learning offers help in reading, math, college prep, and much more, with flexible schedules, affordable rates, and interest-free financing. Enroll today and watch your child's confidence soar. Catch up, keep up, and get ahead. Call 1-800-EDUCATE.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Father Deacon Lawrence Hendricks.
I was one of the first patients to receive a CEREC crown from Dr. Kennedy. The CEREC technology allows for restorations to be done in one visit. They always use the most advanced techniques in dentistry. I've always enjoyed the friendly staff and the personal relationships that I have at Ann Arbor Smiles.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
I don't think we've replaced our siding since we moved in 20 years ago. But I'm sure it's still fine, right?
We better call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor.
Damaged siding can cause mold buildup and weaken your home structure.
Protect your family by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your siding, roof, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. I'm blessed today to be joined the whole hour with my friend Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, whose hour airs before mine on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And we are talking about all the lessons and legacies that we can learn from the life of St. Augustine. Now, Deacon, when we last left off, you had started touching on the reality of marriage prep. And what you're about to share is going to sound shocking to some people, but they need to hear it put in those truthful, explicit terms. So why is it that the sheer number of annulments is that high?
Well, the sheer number of annulments is high because they're recognizing this number of invalid marriages. And that shows that it's a serious lack of proper marriage preparation. So it's better that if you're going through marriage preparation, you discover that it's better not to get married than to get married and end up getting an annulment.
Right.
Because, I mean, this is showing, okay, I'm not ready right now. Just being honest with themselves.
Yep.
I'm not ready right now. There's still something I need to work on in my own life first. I remember doing counseling. I'm not a therapist or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I do triage. When couples are in trouble, they come to me for treatment, and I send them to a counselor. But when they come to me for triage, I remember one spouse, the woman, saying that I wish I would have known myself better before I got married. And that has always stuck with me. I wish I would have known myself better before I got married. So I was like, wow, that's profound. So she recognized that there was even a defect within herself.
Yeah.
But she still got married anyway. You know, so I mean, that's the thing. The Holy Spirit informs our conscience. So if there's something going on, and you're saying to yourself, I'm not sure if this is right now. I'm not sure. Here's a good one. I remember... when I was still doing, and I have 9 television series in EWTN. Uh-huh. It was one of the series. A woman had watched one of the episodes that lives in Colorado, called me up and said, I want to ask you about, and she was like 3 months away from the wedding, and said, I'd like to talk to you about this, my impending nuptials.
Mm-hmm.
I said, great, let's make an appointment to talk. Well, she took that as, you know, I wanted to talk to her in person, so she flew to Portland.
Oh, wow.
You know, and she shows up at the parish, you know, and so I end up talking with her, and I said, well, tell me about your relationship, and she's talking about the relationship. And clearly, I'm getting from her tone and the way she's talking, she doesn't want to get married. She wants to talk to me because she wants to validate the fact that she shouldn't be doing this. But the problem is she's just a couple months out from the wedding now. All these things have been booked, all these commitments have been made, all this money's been spent, and in her heart, she's like, I don't know if I want to do this, I don't know if this is the right guy, I don't know, but she just feels so pulled along, you know, like you get caught in a sneaker wave, like in the ocean, you know, a riptide,
it just carries
you out, and you don't even realize, like, how far you are away from the shore, like, if you get caught in a riptide, it's like that, she feels so carried away. Yeah, she's, I'm so far along in this thing, I don't know if I can just turn back. And I said, no, you need to not get married. I said, the worst thing you can do right now is get married when you feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt relieved and stuff like that, and she ended up calling off the wedding, which took gut. I mean,
yeah,
all
yeah,
of
yeah.
that, right? But on the flip side, she eventually, and she, we stayed in touch, you know, and she finally found a husband, the man that she really wanted.
And this was a different guy.
A different guy, yes, different guy. And she ended up, and as far as I know, they're still married to this day.
Okay, so Deacon, that story illustrates a lot of key points that's wrong with the culture, but right if you follow what the scriptures call us for marriage. The first thing that she admitted, you know, I wish I knew myself better. Like, how do you get to, and I'm not knocking her, I'm saying this as a rhetorical reality about the way we are raised today. How do you get to a point of adulthood where you're now entering into what is potentially a lifelong commitment and you don't have sufficient self-knowledge? That's one of those things that needs to be ingrained in us as a discipline of prayer and discovery of the Lord. That's the first thing, right? Knowing the Lord and letting Him help us know us. And then the second thing, to have the brave, the fortitude to be able to say, even though I've invested this amount of time or even this amount of money in this relationship, I will not trifle with the sacramental reality of a lifelong marriage.
Mm, there you go. And so the question then becomes, how do you find that self-discovery? How do you get to a deep level? And I think it goes back to what you said before. You can't do it by turning in on yourself.
Right.
See, because you want to think, okay, self-discovery means I have to discover more about myself. So, of course, I have to focus on myself.
Yeah.
You know, but that, I think that's a different thing of self-discovery and why I'm on this earth, my purpose for existing is different than the turn into self that the culture is pushing through social media and all these other things. You know, because it becomes so focused on you that you actually lose yourself.
Right.
You don't find yourself.
Right.
I think that's the mistake that we got to be very careful of in the culture. It's those things from the culture that turn us in on ourselves, and we lose ourselves in that relationship. Yeah. It's when we have a sense of self-discovery, when I discover what God's purpose is for my existence, and that means evaluating your talents, your skills, your temperament, your personality, all those kinds of things. And I think that would involve time before the Lord for sure in adoration.
Yes.
Just an honest look at yourself, maybe some spiritual direction or counseling with a priest or something like that. And really honestly help you to discover those things within yourself that allows you then to make a gift of yourself to someone else, as we talked about before, from Galatians 5:24. So I think that is the key, is to get away from this cultural way of thinking and get more into this beautiful sense of self-discovery, but your discovery of yourself within the heart of God.
Yep. And Deacon, okay, so, you know, it's funny, like, everything you just said is completely true, and that's what the church has always taught. The secular culture is going to look at that and go, that doesn't make sense because I have the answers for me. But no, you don't have the answers for you. The only person who has the answer for you is the one who made you, who's outside of you, who wants to dwell in you, and who's...
Well, remember this, too, to your point. A lot of people have self-determination based on cultural constructs.
Yes.
So the culture determines who I'm in relationship with, what my political affiliation is, what my sexual identity is. That determines who I am. No, it doesn't. You see?
So that even when they
correct your point,
even when they think they're going in on them, turning in on themselves to find answers, they're really finding the answers of the culture, not God's.
That's right. And so that's where we have, I think that's the biggest problem, is that when people say, for example, they'll say to me, you are a black Catholic. And I say, no, I'm a Catholic who's black.
Exactly.
You know, when the culture hears something like that, they think that I'm denying my identity as a black man, right? And I said, no, it's just the opposite. I said, my identity does not come from race, color, culture. It doesn't come from my nationality. It doesn't come from any of that. Who I am is formed and forged in the heart of the Eucharistic Christ.
Yep.
That determines who I am. So the biblical quotes I like to use, Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, from Acts of the Apostles, we must obey God rather than men.
Mm.
Or Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ to the church, to die to myself, to live for them. That is where it forms my identity.
Right.
My identity is not formed in what the culture determines. what I am, or the cultural construct, critical race theory, whatever it is, that determines these extrinsic things from the culture that tell me and tell me, well, because you're this, and because you're born here, because you were born in this neighborhood, that this is your identity.
Right.
Oh, no. Nothing can be further from the truth.
Amen. And, you know, you and I are, as far as I know, I think you and I are the only two black hosts. And they don't mean for that to have been structured. It just happened that way, right? And so we relate with each other on certain levels. And you know this. I was brought up in a very, like, gangster rap type of culture. I was actually brought up with, you know, this critical race type of paradigm. Discovering Jesus meant I really had to work out this toxin that I was raised in. Because, like you said, the culture permeates your being. There's no way you can function without realizing that you've been formed by a culture a certain way.
That's right.
My guest is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We are talking about, well, ultimately the Feast of St. Augustine, the heritage of his truth. And now, right now, we're talking about what informs the nature of the human person and how we function within culture and society and ultimately the faith. Stay tuned, continuing on the other side of the break. I'm Marcus Peter.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marcus Peter. Ave Maria Radio spearheads the proclamation of the gospel into all areas of society and culture. And so we want to invite you to think about what Catholic radio means for you. Because our towers and our equipment need updating. And we want to ask you to think about the impact of Catholic radio and how your donations can help continue the propagation of the gospel for the salvation of souls to all who hear it. Thank you for joining us on this wondrous mission.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
No one should ever have to choose between feeding their family and keeping their heat on. Impossible questions like rent or diapers demand answers every day, likely in your very own neighborhood, but you can help. Hope Clinic partners with you to provide free medical, dental, food, and behavioral health care, all in Jesus' name. While others face impossible choices, your choice is an easy one. Partner with Hope Clinic today. Find out how at www.thehopeclinic.org.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience?
There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. I am joined by my dear friend Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, who's our beacon of truth, airs on, in the hour before mine on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And we were just on his program, and we had opened the conversation on St. Augustine of Hippo, and we are continuing on this side of the program. So, Deacon, you had just begun talking with us about how we can't even come to a place of self-knowledge if we don't look at God. And if we try to look in ourselves, it's not our own answers we're seeing. Really, it's the culture that's formed us that we're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, what does St. Augustine say, right? My heart is restless till it rests in thee. You know, and so we'll always feel unsatisfied. We'll always feel inadequate. We'll always feel that something is missing in my life. Even though we have all the material things that the culture says we need to have to be happy and free and fulfilled, it's not enough. I remember during the last time there was a big market crash, there was a guy in Germany who was a billionaire.
Right.
And he lost almost half of his net worth on paper only.
Right.
Not in reality, but just, you know, paper-wise, like stocks. And he killed himself. He committed suicide. Because his whole identity was wrapped up in his possessions.
Right.
You know, Jesus warns us about this in the scriptures. You know, a guy that I will build a bigger silo to have
That's
all my
right.
grains. Oh, don't your life is going to be asked from tonight. Who's it going to go to? You know, so I mean, so Jesus even tells us in the scriptures that our identity cannot be found in things of the earth and the world, including our identity that comes from certain ideologies and philosophies,
right?
Like critical race theory or gender
right.
ideology or. Materialism, this material consumerism of the culture,
yeah.
this radical individualism, subjectivism, moral relativism, whatever it is, that helps me determine who I am, or certain branches of psychology even.
Yep.
You know, our identity is in our Creator, the person who made us, who formed us in the womb.
Yep.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Right.
Yeah, and Yada means deeply, personally, intimately. Yeah. I knew you from the very depth of your being. And our hearts are crying out and yearning for that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
And the culture cannot satisfy that. Only, like I mentioned before, a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ can satisfy the deepest longing desires of the heart.
We can't. So you had listed a series of things that can help us come to that deep immersion. And one of the things I want to ask you to touch on is the need for silence, Deacon. Because
yeah.
you had talked about, what'd you call it, the scroll of death, you called it?
The death scroll.
Death scroll.
On the phone, yeah.
Well, that's all noise, right? We're looking for noise, entertain me, distract me. Silence is a remedy to discovering God.
Yes. And I think we're seeing that more and more now. There's been a couple of very good books that have come about silence. Cardinal Sarah's book on silence, which is very Carthusian in its approach. And if you know the Carthusians, what I mean by that is St. Bruno was the founder of the Carthusians, probably the most ascetical, deeply ascetical religious community. They're basically hermits that live in community.
Yeah.
And there was a movie called Into Great Silence that talks about their life. And it's just, I mean, they spend the vast majority of every single day of their lives in silence. You know, in Psalm 46, verse 11 says, be still and know
yes.
that I am God.
That same word,
right?
Yada.
Yeah, that same word that's used there. And but think about it, even in the Mass, sometimes we're uncomfortable with silence. You know, like, for example, the first reading, Word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Responsorial Psalm starts right away.
Yeah.
Responsorial Psalm. Second reading, First Timothy. Hallelujah. Right? Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. You know, God just spoke to us in His Word. Let's take 4 seconds, 5 seconds to allow that Word to penetrate our hearts, to really, what we just heard, let it sink in and connect it to our everyday lived experience before moving on to the next thing. You know, one thing that I do is after I read the gospel, Well, I do two things. One is that if the priest allows the deacon to do the penitential rite, he says, as we gather together to celebrate these most sacred mysteries, let's call to mind our sins. And I'll actually wait so people can do what he just asked them to do.
Right.
Call to mind their sins.
Sometimes
the priest looks at me like, your turn, your part. I'm like, I'm waiting for them to actually call to mind their sins. And so I'm thinking to myself, because he wants to move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Or whenever I read the gospel, after I read the gospel, I pause. And this is what Jesus said. The gospel of the Lord. And I take that possibility. He doesn't know what to say now. I'm like, yeah, I know. I deacon for the Pope. I know what I'm doing. It's just Jesus, the King of the universe, just spoke to us. Let's take a little time for that. The God who dwelt among us in the flesh, he just spoke. Let's let our hearts open to receive everything he wants to give us before we move on to the next thing. And even communion at Mass, we have the communion song, the second communion song, the meditation song after the can we just have some silence?
Right.
And allow, I mean, think about it. When we receive the Eucharist, that may be someone's only adoration time for the entire week, is when Jesus is dwelling in them after receiving him. That's the only, so let's allow a little bit of silence. Because why is silence so important? Silence is not about speaking, it's about listening. It's about listening. So silence is the place where we put our own thoughts aside. And sometimes in the beginning when you're trying to go to adoration, for example, it's hard because you're thinking all these thoughts and what I have to do next and all that. And you just have to, because you're not used to silence. So the more you enter into silence, the more that you empty yourselves of all those things and allow God to speak to you more fully in your heart. And so I love Eucharistic adoration.
Yes.
And I love that stillness, that silence, that quiet, where I could be heart to heart with God, in those moments of silence and just listen to the voice of God and allow that voice to change my life. Because that's exactly what happened in 2011, an encounter with him in Eucharistic adoration that changed literally the entire course and direction of my life.
Yeah. And we're uncomfortable with silence.
Yep, we most certainly are. We're uncomfortable with silence. Why? Because now you're alone with your thoughts, right? So,
What are those thoughts?
See, why are you? I'm afraid to be alone. What are your thoughts about?
Right. What have you been putting into your mind that's being projected to you in silence?
See, exactly. So we have to break through that and realize that silence is the space where God speaks to our hearts. Because in order to hear God's voice, you can't have noise and ear pods and things in your ears as distractions. God speaks to what St. Benedict called the aurum cordis. So the first line of the rule of St. Benedict says, Absculata o filii precepta majesti inclina aurum cordis tuii. Listen, my sons, to the master's precepts and incline the ear of your heart. Because your heart... Leb in Hebrew, the heart is the place where your desire for God lives inside of you. That's called the seat of the will.
That's right.
Right? And that is what we have to foster in that relationship with God. And that relationship is fostered and forged in silence. In fact, St. John Paul II said, in one of his ad limina visits from the bishops from the Pacific Northwest, he said one of the ways we can most actively participate in the Mass is silence. Because if you look at the Vatican document, it says full, conscious, active participation,
one of the most quoted lines
of Sacrosanctum Concilium.
And for some reason, we think that means do as much as possible.
Right, because it's two words. It's activa in Latin, which means active. Like that's where we get the word active from, activa.
Right.
But the word they use there is actuosa.
Mm.
It comes from actuositatem, which means a deeper, richer, inner participation.
Right.
So for example... I remember watching Passion of the Christ, and the first time I cried was during this, not the scourging scene, which was brutal, but when St. John was trying to get the Blessed Mother close to Jesus, she was standing at the end of the portico, and then John goes to try to find a way through the crowd, and then you hear the whip, and then you see Jesus fall, and she runs toward him, and it cuts back to the scene where Jesus was a boy, falls down the stairs, she drops a basket of laundry, runs after him, and it cuts back to Jesus running, Mary running toward Jesus, and cuts back to him as a kid, and it cuts back to him but she's falling before him, the cross is on his shoulder. I just started crying. Why? Because as a parent, you can totally relate to that. But it's just a movie. Was I participating in that movie? Oh, you better believe
Yes,
and that's what the Second Vatican Council called for when they said active participation, a deeper, richer, inner participation in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And again, John Paul II said one of the ways we can be most active is through silence.
And gosh, so you know you were listing out the series of actions we find in the Mass, the Novus Ordo version of the Mass. And this is not a knock on the Novus Ordo, but so, like you mentioned, we can over-involve ourselves in the liturgical process to the point where, like, just hearing you describe that was exhausting my inner self. You know, I'm actually an introvert. I know our listeners wouldn't believe that, and people who hear me speak wouldn't believe that, but I'm an introvert. I love my silence.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. And I'm a guy on the plane that as soon as I sit down, I get the earphones can't come on fast because I don't want anybody talking to me.
Yeah.
Because I want that time of silence and just for myself and just be, even if I'm sitting in a seat with other people, that's the time where I just want to just take a deep breath. You know, I had to be on as a speaker, you know, you have to be on, and now I could just take a deep breath and relax as I've got this long flight back to Oregon, and that's just my time to decompress and to think and to pray and all of that. So I've cherished that time very much.
Yeah. And so the thought of not engaging in silence should actually exhaust the human nature. But, and speaking as one who, our listeners know my past, and so I had a myriad of addictions. But addictions are nothing more than placebos that are balming the wounds that we don't want to let Jesus into. And I want to invite you to speak to that, Deacon. You yourself allowed the Lord to heal you through so much, but you encounter so many people who are wounded, and instead of running to the source of love, they look for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, and for me, I did not have many addictions, but I had that hating my father for 18 years. And it was not until I understood the power of divine mercy. Mm. You know, again, goes back to that, the rays are coming out of the heart of Jesus, entering into that space where I realized that in order to heal, I had to become a vehicle of mercy to others. You know, so that's beautiful.
My guest has been Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Marcus Peter.